scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I would dare say that everybody here today has come into this house and we've come into this building saying, I want to please God. I think that the value of knowing God and having Him as a part of our lives and an integral Lord of our lives, that we understand that faith is not a negotiable when it comes to serving God. He said, if you want to serve me, you must have faith in me. I think it's interesting because we live in a world that would like to rob us of the joy that God wants to bring to us. There's a lot of voices that are speaking to you right now. There's a lot of voices that want to speak into your life. Some of those voices speak words of life. Some of those voices speak death to your spirit and death to your relationship with God. And there's a world out there that really does not appreciate the fact that you want to go against the grain of the world. Now, the challenge that you have is being able to see God for who He is, to see yourself from His perspective, but also to understand that you will not be able to see everything. Now, I just want to ask a question. A lot of times we want to see things and then believe in them. Is there anybody here that you've never seen the engine in your car or your truck? Raise your hand. You've never seen it. Raise your hand. Nobody dares raise their hand. Okay, thank you, man. We have one. Yeah. Any ladies here? Raise your hand if you've never seen the engine. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, thank you. Now, for those of you who've not seen that, that didn't keep you from getting in your car and putting the key in your ignition and turning that ignition and expecting, everybody say expecting that engine to start, even though you had never seen that engine. Now, how many here this morning, you got in the car this morning and you never looked under the hood for that engine? All of us, but we all got in and turned the key. You see my point? The scripture says, blessed are you when you have not seen. Is there anybody here that's seen the wind? Raise your hand if you've seen the wind. It's a trick question. Because nobody's seen the wind, right? We've only seen the effects of the wind. We've seen what wind can do, and wind can be very powerful when it turns into a hurricane or a tornado. We've seen the destruction and the power that can come from something that we have never seen. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? The power of God, the Bible says that the world declares the glory of God. That really, if we will open our eyes and to be able to see the things of God and see the Spirit of God in our world today, our lives will be changed. But too many times here, we just want to see it. And that's what Thomas said about Jesus. He says, until I can see the nails in His hand and where the spear went inside, I'm just not going to believe it until I see it. And there's a lot of Christians today, we're just like from Missouri. Show me. You and me are just like, show me. I ain't going to believe it until I see it. God says, blessed are you when you believe when you have not seen. But the power of God, the peace of God that you feel in your heart this morning, the peace and the power of God is something that He has provided for us free of charge because He paid a debt He did not owe. He placed value on you. And I want to talk to you this morning about a guy named Gideon. How that God put His extra on Gideon's ordinary. Gideon was an ordinary guy. Now, the children of Israel, they had come out of Egypt and they'd come into the promised land. And Gideon was an Israelite, but the Midianites had been oppressing Israel, and for many years the oppression come to Israel. And the scripture says, if you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 6. And it talks about this plight of Gideon and how that God got a hold of Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. It says, again. Everybody say again. Again, that means it happened before, right? Again, the Israelites did what the Lord said was wrong. Anybody relate to that? My name's Randy Weaver. You with me? Y'all look an awful holy most of y'all out there like. Just because it's church don't mean you have to fake anything. It says again they did it. So for 7 years the Lord handed them over to Midian. What happens when we don't follow God's plan? See, we blame God a lot of times for our problems, but the problem was that we didn't follow the plan of God, and God turned them over to the Midianites because that was what they had followed, because the idols of the Midianites were more valuable, they thought, than serving the living God. So God let them go. How many knows that God will honor every choice that you make? That's why we support these missionaries. That's why we believe in these missionaries, because they help the students at the university make better choices. So we all need that, and that's why we come to church today. So what happened was, in a nutshell, to just give you a little condensed version, God said, came to Gideon, and he said, I want you to redeem these people from the hands of the Midianites. And so Joshua, he was hiding in the wine press. He's threshing wheat, and he was hiding from the Midianites because they would just come. There's like a bunch of terrorists, and they just take the stuff from the Israelites. And he was threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord came to him, and he said, I have chosen you to redeem Israel, the nation of Israel, from the Midianites because you are a mighty warrior. And I can imagine Gideon goes like. So here it is. It says Israel became very poor, and they cried out to the Lord. And when Israelites cried out to the Lord against the Midianites, the Lord sent the prophet, and he said, this is what the Lord your God says to Israel. I brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery, to save you from the Egyptians. And then it goes on in verse 10. It says, then I said to you, I am the Lord your God. He said, I came to be your God. But what happened? The Israelites, they exchanged their God for an idol. So it says, and then it says, live in the land of the Amorites, but do not worship their gods, but you did not obey. He said, I know you're going to come into the land of the Israelites, but once you come into this land, you will have to possess the land. Possessing the land that you live in means that you will be faithful to God with your property, with your home. What that means is that the things that are degradation to God, you will not allow them in your home. Things that are offensive to God, you will not allow that to come into your home. And you can fill in all the blanks because you're very intelligent. Gideon, Joash's son, was separating some of the wheat from the chaff in the winepress to keep the wheat from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said, The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And I can imagine Gideon just going, who are you talking about? What is you talking about me? A mighty warrior? I'm hiding from these people. Listen to his response. He sure wasn't no hero material. Because the angel of the Lord said he's a mighty warrior before he was one. He said he was a mighty warrior before he actually was one. God saw something in Gideon before Gideon saw something in Gideon. And I dare say God sees something in you before you see what you see in you. When God saw, when everybody else saw a shepherd boy, when they looked at David, God saw a king. Who does God see when he looks at you? Does he see something different than what you see? It's a good question for you this morning. If God could see the hero in Gideon, then just maybe he can see a hero in us. Here's how it happened. He got a call from God. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, go with your strength and save Israel. And here's Gideon's response. Lord, how can I save Israel? My family group is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least important in my family. He's like, Manasseh is right here, and then my family is right here, and then I'm the runt of the family. And you want me? You're calling me a mighty warrior? David had a choice right then, Gideon had a choice right then. He could either accept who God said he was, or he could stay and be the man, the boy, the wimp that he thought he was. Interesting, isn't it? So he gets this call, says, oh, you got the wrong guy. You're looking for a great soldier. That ain't me. So the question is that we beg is, do you ever feel like you are too weak to do what God is asking you to do? Do you ever feel like, well, I just can't do that? Well, the truth is that you are not good enough by yourself. But with God, you can do all things. When the church was, several years back, when the church was growing bigger than we ever thought it would ever be, I called my mom and I told her, I said, man, we've got so many people coming to church. And do you know what my mom said to me? She said, Randy, you're good, but you ain't that good. She said, we're all good, but with God, my goodness, with God, what can we do? All you got to do is, if you want to see somebody that can't do it by themselves, just look up here on the platform or go when you get home, look in the mirror. You can't do it by yourself. But the amazing things that God can do through you. I think the enemy wants to blind you this morning. And he's trying to blind you from the amazing things you can do. There's people in this building right now that God's called into the ministry. And you're fighting that call because you don't think you can do it. The truth is, you can't do it on your own. But through God, you can do it. Do an amazing job of it. So here it is. We're not careful, we at all times can feel like Gideon. We live in a nation populated with people who, like the Midianites, have swarmed the land with houses and animals and their own immorality and their ways that which are not God's ways. And the Midian army that surrounds us is a nation where many are at best apathetic toward the things of God and his people in the church. And at worst, they are antagonistic and many dismissive about the things of God. Our nation of Midianites is not that much different. The Midianite army that surrounds us is a nation where many are at best apathetic. The Midianites believe that the idea of God is a quaint concept, that humankind is a natural result of evolutionary forces. You see, if our world around us can make the church believe that we are a product of evolution instead of a product of creation, you see, the reason that we have evolution in our world today is because if people really believed in creation, there would have to be a verdict that they would have to believe in God. And because people don't believe in God, they have to have something else to believe in. Let me tell you something. You were created in the image of God, and it takes much more faith to believe in evolution than it really does to believe in God. Our Midianites believe that our value to God is really no different than the rest of the animal species. Genesis tells us that we have been given stewardship and dominion over the animals. And our world tells us, and it's getting to the place where they believe that many animals, they're like people too. Let me tell you something. God gave us dominion over the animals to be good stewards of them, but also he told Adam and Eve, kill and eat too. And it's okay to have a steak. Every once in a while. So our American Midianites believe that there's no sanctity of life. That fetal tissue is not life breathed from God and made in his image, but just a glob of cells. That's what they teach us. In their system of convenient justification, the location of the baby determines the life of the baby. That is nonsense. Amen. And that's not the heart of God. Make no mistake, when you cast a vote for elected officials that condone such behavior, God himself will hold you accountable for the blood of each one of these little babies, baby boys and baby girls that have died because of your vote to take their life. The Midianites. Today, the Midianite culture places importance on personal interpretation of the truth. It gives freedom to reinterpret what marriage looks like for you. Well, for me, many times void of the values that God has directed for centuries. Make no mistakes, the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21. In our culture, the moral boundaries of right and wrong are perpetually being reinterpreted. For most, the archaic laws from God, like the Ten Commandments, are nice. But for many, sometimes even in the church, they become the Ten Suggestions. Midianite concept is that morality is personal. People say, well, for me, it's not what for me, it's for God and what he says, not what we think about what he says. It comes from within each one of us and is relative to our situation. Through self-justification, men allow their girlfriends to move in with them just because they don't have a place for them to stay, and they justify it. They say, well, God will understand her, or well, I love them. Listen to me. You don't love her. That's not love. If you loved her, you'd marry her. You put a ring on it and marry her. And ladies, don't you be going along with what these men say. You single women, stand up for who God's made you to be. You are precious in your sight. Protect yourself spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Modern Midianites are no different than those in the days of the judges of Israel, when each one of them did what was right in their own eyes. Living in a land filled with Midianites, it becomes very tempting to be like Gideon, to hunker down and find a hiding place and just go through the motions of church. But God has called you out. Have you ever seen the cowboy movies where they call them out? I'm calling you out. I love cowboy movies. But that's what the church means. The word church means the called out ones. This morning, I just wanted you to know God is calling you out, not for a duel, but he's calling you out. The Bible doesn't say to build a church and just expect people to show up. He said, go out in the highways and the byways. Go to Baylor University. Go to all in places, everywhere. All of them. And compel them to come in. Don't build a church and expect them to show up. The reason why many fail today is simply because they are relying on their own abilities. Did you know Gideon couldn't do it by himself? It wasn't Gideon's talent, listen to this, that God knew he could use. In fact, it was Gideon's disability that he used. We're all about these gifts and talents. And listen, I love the fact that we all have different gifts and we have different talents. But many times, God wants to take you out of your comfort zone. Even though you got five kids and it doesn't feel comfortable to move into a land where you don't know what's going on, God wants to call you out to a ministry in your community, a ministry to your workplace. God wants to use you for your kingdom because you are the only one that he has called to the place where you live. God has put his confidence in you. And through him, you can do it. Calling you out. A plan from God. The Lord answered him. He said, I will be with you. It'll seem as if the Midianites are fighting against you, but listen, God's plan is a simple one. God's plan for you is a simple one. And here's his plan for you, in case you was wondering, oh man, I'm fixing to tell you what God's plan is. God's plan is, I will be with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, God says, I will be with you. And you and God are a majority. Listen, the reason that God took the 26,000 or whatever, then the 10,000 and brought them down to 300 soldiers to defeat the Midianites, this is what he said. He said, I don't want Israel to think that they did it on their own. You see, within our power, we think we are self-made men or self-made women that we can. Listen, we are not good enough to make ourselves. If you have anything that's good in you, it's because God has given it to you. If you have any ability in you, God has given you that ability. Give him credit and give him honor, and then let him take your natural and put his super on your natural. Let him put his extra on your ordinary, and you will be extraordinarily supernatural because the power of God will work through you. Acts chapter 2, it says that they were all in one accord in one place, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And this, he said, this is for your children, for your children's children, for as many as those who are far off, even those the people that live in Montgomery, Texas. And he didn't say that, but he said, far off, and that's us. But he says, I'm going to give you that power to overcome anything in your life, but you have to accept the power of the Holy Spirit because it's been provided for you. All you have to do is accept him as your Savior and make him the Lord of your life. Through baptism, we are buried with Christ and we come up in the newness of life, realizing that our life has more purpose than just existing and just going through the motions. God wants to raise up warriors in the kingdom of God, and he wants to enlist you this morning for something that you've never done before. Just love that. It's good preaching. Anything that takes the place of God, or anything that is in front of God in priorities in your life, God calls that an idol. And what happened was that the Israelites had taken on the idols of the Midianites. God told them to come in and possess the land and that they were to be the rulers in the land. But what they did, they allowed the influence of the land to consume them with what the land had dictated to them other than what God had asked them to do. And if we're not careful, and I've preached this sermon several times, but your body is a sanctuary for the presence of God. This is your holy of holies. This is your most holy place. In the Old Testament times, they had a temple, and in the temple, there was the holy place, and then there was the holies of holies where the presence of God dwelt. And then Jesus comes along and he says, I don't dwell, the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in temples made by man's hand, but your body is a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit. And this is a place where God dwells, that this is the holies of holies, that God dwells in you. And because God is in you, God is with you. And he said, I will be with you wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you come in contact, the issues that you have in life. He said, I will be with you. The church has got to get a hold of the fact that God is with us and he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But if we're always distracted by the things of the world, we will never fulfill the purpose that God created for us to fulfill. Unlikely heroes. The church is full of unlikely heroes. I'm one. You're one, but with God, can you imagine what he will do in this community when the church raises up and realizes the power of the Holy Spirit that he has given to each and every one of us, the things that we can do through Christ who gives us strength. You are a hero in the eyes of God, and his message to you today is to begin to live and act like a hero of God, because he said he would never leave you. He'd never forsake you. And the plan that he has for you is to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope for your future. And the definition of prosperity is not definite. Money is down there quite a ways. The prosperity that he has for you is peace in your life. How valuable is peace? How much more valuable? You can't buy, all money is just little green pieces of paper with presidents' pictures on them. It's just money. We got to have it to live, but money won't give you peace. Only God can give you peace in your life. In the turmoil of this world, run to Jesus, because only he can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Amen. I got to quit. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for the extraordinary that you put on our ordinary. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is living and powerful. I pray for everybody here this morning. Help us, Lord, to realize who we are from your perspective. Well, Lord, we just repent as a church from seeing ourselves as inadequate, unable to do what we're supposed to be doing. Lord, we realize that we can do more through you because you have designed us and blessed us with the ability to be mighty warriors for you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that we have all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. But he said if we would confess our sin, he'd be faithful to forgive us. And you see, that's where the peace of God comes from. It comes from his presence because we've been forgiven. We've been washed in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross so we could have eternal life. So this morning, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if something would happen to me or if God would come back for his church, I need to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Anybody, I'm going to put a Bible in your hand. Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Yep. Thank you in the back. I appreciate it. Bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord loves you. He loves you with all his heart. He wants to spend eternity with you. You were created to serve him. Honestly, you were. And it's going to be the greatest trip of your life to follow Jesus. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. If you raise your hand, would you mind looking up at me in the back? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? I'd be honored to pray with you. Just come on up. We'll take your time. Thank you. Thank you. Come on up. The Lord's good to us, isn't he? One of the things I think is important is that knowing, come on up, yeah, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That doesn't mean that you're perfect, because we're not perfect. But God, when he comes into us, he helps us to live for him. He wants to be our Savior. I'm so proud of you. Bless your heart. Yeah. Bless you, girl. It's okay. It's okay. Look here. God wants to give you peace right now, because that's what you need more than anything. He wants to give you peace in your heart and your life. He wants to transform you and help you. So it says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So I want to help you pray. Can we do that? I know you're crying, but that's the Holy Spirit getting a hold of you. That's okay. This is Ball Baby Church anyway. So I want you to repeat after me and let me help you pray, okay? Just, y'all help us. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thanks for dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life.
I invite you into my life.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
Help me to read my Bible.
Help me to read my Bible.
To pray.
Show up for church.
And get baptized.
I love you, Jesus.
Teach me to love you more.
Teach me to love you more.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look here. Look here. Everybody has a beginning. You with me? A new beginning. That's what you have right now. That's why he called it being born again. And all the issues of your life have been forgiven. You with me? You're all forgiven. Don't let the devil lie to you and bring up the sin of your past, because he's a liar. And he wants to give you peace right now. And so walk in this. Let the church help you. You got to keep showing up. Can't help you if you don't show up. Okay?
It's like college. You have to show up.
You gotta show up for college, yeah, to get a grade. But it's not about getting a grade, it's about growing. So we'll help you, okay?
Okay.
Bless you. Listen, go visit with this lady for just a second if you don't mind. Yeah. Stand with me, please. We've got our prayer team up here. If you need prayer for anything, prayer for healing. Prayer for anything in your life, anything going on, you need special prayer. Also, if you want to spend some time at the altar, that's why we have these altars. I want to ask you a question. Our culture is ate up with being critical of ourselves, so critical that we begin to believe that we don't have a purpose and that God can't use us. And there's some people in this room today, I don't even know how to say this in a nice way, but you've been good at beating yourself up. And the reason that we've come here today and the reason that God gave me this message is because he's tired of you beating yourself up, and you can't rise up above and be a great warrior until you do what Gideon did and begin to walk in that obedience and the plan that God has for you. So how many say, preacher, I'm through beating myself up. I'm going to start walking in the way that God wants me to walk. I'm through beating myself up. Raise your hand. I'm telling you, this culture beat you up. The Midianite culture out there will beat you up. I want to pray for you. Raise your other hand. Everybody didn't raise your hand. You raise your hands for the ones that did raise their hand. So, Lord, you see our hands. Oh, we are all of us, are broken people. We thank you, Lord, that you put us together, that we, in this process of following you, Lord, that you take out the dross, that you take out the things that separate us from you, the lies that the enemy has told us. Lord, I pray for everybody, Lord, in this building, that they would realize and recognize and see themselves from your perspective, that not only do they believe in you, but you believe in them. Help them to see, God, that you believe in them. Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage to step up in ministry, to step up in places that they may be even out of their comfort zone completely, but because you have called them, that they will rise up with the children and with the youth and with the people at their workplace, everywhere they go, in their families. Help fathers, oh God, to minister life to their kids and to accept the responsibility of reading bedtime stories, oh God, of these mighty warriors of the past, and help their children to grow in you, oh God. I pray for mamas. Give them wisdom, oh Lord. I pray that you would help them, Lord. And I just pray, oh Lord, that the anxiety of this world would fall off of them. They'd be loosed from the anxieties in Jesus' name. Help these kids, oh God. I pray that you'd help them to understand the power that you've put in them. And when all their friends put pressure on them to do things and to get on Snapchat and all the things that would mess up and separate them from you, oh God, that they would rise up and make a stand for you and for your kingdom. Lord, we speak victory to this crowd. We speak victory, Lord, to those watching online in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We love you. You have a better week than ever. God bless you.